video is a continuation of the series on doing wall clock time investigations. And in this one, we're going to talk about doing a wall clock investigation on ASP.NET scenarios. We're going to use a very simple application that, frankly, is just designed to be a demo. It's this hello world.ASPX page. And you can see this is the total text of the entire thing. So we have our form, which does nothing but has a label, which has a callback to this code here. And so this code, the important thing about this code is that I've intentionally put in a very sort of obvious performance issue in it, or something to use up time, so that I can show how to find that time using the tool. So in particular, I have a for loop which does both sleeping, so I have blocked non-CPU time, and then sets this label, this text field of the label, to a particular thing with the date 2,000 times. So this tends to be computation CPU bound, and this will tend to be blocking time. And so we'll have both blocking time and non-blocking time in this particular example. Now, in reality, this is more like a database call off the machine, and this is just processing to sort of figure out what to put in various parts of your form that you're replying with. But anyway, this is our application, and we're going to take a look at it. Now, just like because we're doing a block time analysis, we need when we collect this data, we would all we need to do is turn on this thread time variable. It's called thread blocking in older versions of Purview. There's also a command line option called slash thread time that you can use to turn it on, and that's what's going to allow you to have the context switch events, which lets you know about wall clock time. And then you just hit start, and then run your ASP.NET application, and ping it and so forth to cause it to work. And then when you're done, stop, and then you'll have this file. And that's what this file right here is, this hello world.etl.zip file. Okay, so what we're going to do first is we're just going to, as in the other videos, there are some, because I turned on thread blocking, there are these three new views. But it turns out that because this is an ASP.NET application, and therefore ASP.NET by default, ASP.NET requests or events get turned on by default by Purview, you'll also get this ASP.NET thread time stacks. By the way, if you have problems with any of this, first of all, it's actually handy on any of these. You can right click and do help on item, and that will take you to, you want to find out about what this ready thread thing does. Oops, that one doesn't work. You can right click on things to find them in the help. And in particular, you might run into problems with ASP.NET. If you don't see this ASP.NET thread time stacks after running an ASP.NET application, the typical reason is that you do have to turn on, you have to install ASP.NET with you have to install ASP.NET logging or tracing. And so let's do. See if I can find it here real quick. There we go. If you run into problems with this, it turns out that you have to turn on particular options when you install ASP.NET to turn on tracing. You should just do this. I'm working with the team, frankly, to make this the default so that people don't have this little problem to trip over. But let's assume that you have that. Well, you're more than welcome to look at these other views, but I'm going to start talking about these specific ASP.NET views. And I actually do tend to like to start with this statistics view first. And this is just a report on sort of the overall health of your ASP.NET application. So in particular, it breaks time up into 1 second second intervals. It shows you how many requests, how long the maximum request was, where it was, what thread, and then, you know, how many context switches, how much CPU, and how many GCs. And it's just sort of high-level stuff that's just handy. But perhaps the most important aspect of this is the response time. You can see that the response time of this is really bad the first time. It's 7.8 seconds, and pretty bad, 1.7 seconds for every other time. And that's not surprising given the application that we had, but this is how you begin an ASP.NET investigation. Now, once you've looked at this and sort of gotten a feel for sort of what's going on, I should also mention that if you wanted to see the individual requests, you can also see the URL that's happening, and you can also open up the all of these requests. In this case, there are only six of them, and you can open them up in Excel and see. Come on. And see, you know, for every request, what the URL was, when did it start, when did it stop, and so on. That can be useful for aggregate statistics. You know, you wanted to do some sort of histogram or something like that, you can do that by doing operations in Excel. But the thing that I mostly want to concentrate on is this second view, this ASP.NET thread time stacks. And what this view does, it's actually fairly similar to the thread time with tasks stacks that we talked about previously. It's now asking me which process I want to use, and you'll want to use a W3WP, the ASP.NET worker process, is the one that you're going to want to use. And so this is now doing a thread time view, which has some special characteristics to it. And to show you that, I'm going to go to the call tree view. Remember that I said in the very first video on block time investigation that it's extremely important to focus in. You can't do a block time investigation until you focus in on a particular thread. Well, ASP.NET, the ASP.NET thread time view does this for you. It segregates, so it turns out that there's all sorts of threads. Like, here are all the threads in the process. There are quite a number of them. And because of that, you get a whole lot of thread time, right? Because there are lots of threads, therefore there's lots of thread time. And in fact, this thread time dominates the total time, especially in this case, because I'm only sending these, I only sent six requests to this. All the other time, it was sitting but blocked, waiting for work to do. I don't care about that time. I only care about the time that was in requests. Well, that's exactly what this view does. It segregates the world into requests and not requests. And most of the time, you just are not interested in not requests. I'll tell you, it's handy to look at this to see. One thing that's handy to do is to go over here, select CPU time. So we're going to include just CPU time. And we're going to look at the call tree, and then we're going to look in not requests, and we're going to find out there was 964 milliseconds of CPU time that was not in a particular request. And so you could look at, okay, well, where is that time? And you'll find out that in this particular case, it's time when the app itself was starting up. But the value of the not request, and the other thing that shows up here is the GC, because GC threads, you can see one of it's right here, is on a different thread, and we can't actually tell who. You know, we can know who started the GC, but that it's not it's unfair to sort of assign that thread the blame for the entire GC cost. So GC is just considered a shared cost, and you're going to have to handle that separately. So that's one of the big things that shows up in not requests. Startup time shows up in not requests because it's not in any particular request. But those are the two things. And if anything else is showing up there, something is weird and you should look into it. But once you've done that, and once you've like looked and checked to see, oh yeah, there's nothing interesting in not requests, you probably want to exclude it. So you select it and then exclude that item. And so now I only have requests. And notice now that block time now gets to be something much more reasonable. It is in fact something that's very reasonable. It's your total time during requests. That is, I took this many requests in this one, two, three, four, two, four, six. Six requests. Six requests. These six requests. They all happen to be for a particular URL, and it took 16 seconds aggregate time. Now, if you want aggregates, the stats view, the one that we were looking at before, this guy is probably a better view for doing that, or doing Excel on it. But once you want to like dig into something, this is the view to look for. And you'll see actually that immediately you'll see that this first request that happened first in time, it took a lot longer. And then the other ones, all the other ones took about the same amount of time. This is because this first one, it's compiling the page, right? It has to call the C# compiler, the JIT compiler has to run, lots of things have to run for the first time, and so it takes quite a bit longer. And then afterwards, things are running quickly. So I'm going to skip that one for now because I want to focus in on the easier case. And so what you can do, what's interesting now is that the point is that all time has been charged now to a particular URL and a particular request for that URL. And you can find out the times that those particular things executed in here. And then within the request, it now just opens up the thread that was all threads that were used for that request are in this view here. I should mention if you do asynchronous I/O inside requests, the callbacks for that asynchronous I/O may not be on this thread anymore, and so those won't get charged properly yet. If you use tasks, we have now the ability to do that charging properly, but we don't yet do that. So I'm going to the good news is that this particular case I don't have any asynchronous I/O, and so that's not going to be a problem. You can already see that block time investigation is harder because I might hand things off to other threads, and so now that time sort of gets lost, and it's hard to know who to charge. We're working on that. The views will continue to get better and better, but already they're not too bad because I can look at a particular request, and in fact, if I wanted to, I could just say I only want to look at that particular request, so I can say include item. And so now I'm only going to see, oops, I did the wrong one. I did the first long one. I wanted to do, say, this one and do include item on that guy. And so now I see the 1.7 seconds. And I can do things like I can say, oh, you know, I also want to only look at CPU time. And I'll find out that request took 1.4 seconds of CPU time. And here it is. And then now it works just like any other CPU time investigation. I can click here and I can find out, look, the lion's share of it was in concat. And inside concat is, here's the call stack. And you can see I'm going to do grouping ungroup module. And you can see that it was called from this ugly, nasty name called hello world ASPS dot underscore render control one. This is the function that that the original source code, did I close it, I guess? Yeah. The original source code for this was in, right? That original ASP.NET page that I did, the source code for that was compiled into this helper file. If go to source doesn't quite work yet for ASP.NET scenarios, but if I did go to source, you'd like it to just go to the source code for this built thing. If you do code behind where you put your actual code in your own DLLs, then it will show up very nicely. It'll show up as the DLL name, and it's a little bit nicer there. But this is so what it showed me is I can do a CPU investigation just like I did before. Now I'm going to undo that CPU time. So now I have all time, and you'll actually see that in this, oops, didn't do it yet. That should have been enough. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, we have blocked, so we can see that we have this roll up for this particular request. Oh, I undid too much of my stuff. I'm going to put this guy back and do include item on him again. So my 1.7 seconds of time, I can find out if I just go over here by name that 76% of my time was CPU and 16% was block. Oh, what's the block time? Let's take a look. And we open it up and we find out we're calling sleep from this ASP.NET Hello World render control thing. So in other words, from my ASP.NET, I directly called sleep. I can also see that by coming down from the top. If I come down from the top, you'll see there's all sorts of functions that are part of the ASP.NET infrastructure, and then I get to my page. And then here it is. Here's the breakdown, is that I spent 46% of my time, a wall clock time for this request in string concat. 35% was in date time now. Wow, that's a lot, isn't it? And then 11% in sleep. And so this gives me a very nice breakdown of all my requests by the amount of wall clock time they took, and then you can start to investigate why each of those components is taking as long as as you want. And this is how you should be investigating an ASP.NET wall clock time scenario, and it's a very, very common case. So I do recommend that you take some time and look over this example, and then do it on your own ASP.NET applications and find out why they are performing the way they are. Thank you.